Friends, God is the King of the universe, and we owe him our full allegiance, and yet he is also our Father, and we approach him with full access because we are his beloved children.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today as we continue in our series in Ephesians. And today, Pastor Philip, we just heard this clip where you give us these images of God of the universe and God as our Father. Now, how do those truths give us perspective on our prayer life?
Yeah. So there's this paradoxical thing in God with he's transcendent. And he's eminent. He's the King, and he's our Father. And this paradox, this pairing of traits in God, is so powerful for us because you go to a king because a king can do anything, right? Whatever problem you have, the king can probably do something about it. But the question is whether the king is going to care enough about you to actually follow through and make a difference in your life, because you might just be one of the citizens, right? But if that king is also your father, then you know that your father loves you, that your father's for you, and that no matter what it is you ask, that the father's intentions are good for you. And so he will respond. He will do something in response to your request. And so there's this beautiful imagery that Paul gives us that the King of the universe is also our Father through Jesus Christ. And so we can come to him any day, any night, whatever is going on in our lives, and he will respond. He's for us, and he will answer our prayers.
Wow, that's really good. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church for part one of the sermon, The Power of Prayer.
The Apostle Paul has been leading us through a grand celebration of the gospel, that in Christ, by grace and through faith, we've been reconciled to God our Father, and we have been unified as a new family in God. That Jews and Gentiles, these very different people, have now become a multi-ethnic family in Jesus Christ. And all of this, Paul said, as we looked at last time in Ephesians 3, verses 11 and 12, is through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And this is amazing. Because of Jesus Christ, all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, have access to the throne room of grace. And how does he say we come? With boldness, confidence, and access. And having celebrated this offer, this access that we have to our Father through Jesus Christ, Paul now says, I'm going to show you the way. And he launches into what is one of the most powerful and glorious prayers in all the Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 down to 21. If you'll grab your Bibles and join me there, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, you'll find today's reading on page 977 in the Pew Bible. If you want to pull that out, 977. If you'll listen as I read, this is the word of the Lord. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. I want to talk with you this morning about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. We're going to see the basis of prayer, the grace of prayer and the confidence of prayer this morning. The basis, grace, and confidence of prayer. If you've ever wondered if your prayers matter, you need to lean in. This one's for you, okay? There's some glorious stuff ahead for you. We all need it desperately. So let's bow our heads, let's pray, and ask the Lord to teach us about the power of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, desperate and needy. Without you, we are dead. Without you, we are helpless. Without you, there's nothing we can hope for. But in you is life and hope and help. And so meet us here, we pray, by the power of your Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So first of all, the basis of prayer, the basis of prayer. Look at verse 14 with me. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Just pause there. So he starts out and he says, for this reason. What reason, Paul? Well, this refers to everything he's written in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. So we can't quite summarize it, but he's basically saying, because of all that God has done for us in Christ to reconcile us to himself and with one another, because we are chosen for adoption, because we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, because we are inheriting the promises of God, because God's resurrection power is at work in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, because Christ has torn down the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, because we all together now have access to the Father with boldness and confidence. For this reason, for all these reasons, because of all that God has done for us in Christ by the Spirit, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, there's a blend of imagery here in this sentence that's on purpose. The first image is a throne room. I bow my knees. It's a throne room image. Now, many of us, when we think of bowing our knees, we think of prayer. But bowing knees was not the normal posture of prayer in the first century. Most times when you prayed, you stood to pray. You'll see that all over the Bible, people standing to pray. Kneeling, on the other hand, was most commonly associated with kings, with majesty, royalty. You kneeled before a king. So when Paul says, I bow my knees, he's acknowledging here that God is the rightful ruler of all things, that he is the king of the universe. He's the sovereign of all creation. He's the Lord of all the nations, and he's the king of all the cosmos, right? He is the king, and we kneel before him. But it's interesting, instead of saying, I kneel before the king, he doesn't say king. What does he say? I kneel before the Father, which is the imagery of family. This is like a child coming before his daddy, right? And Paul blends these two images that don't normally go alongside each other, but he blends them together on purpose, because the king of all the universe in Jesus Christ is our Father, isn't he? The king of all the universe in Jesus is our Father because of what Christ has done. John 1 verse 12, yet to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And as children of God, we have access to our Father. And remember those words that Paul said in the passage we looked at last time? That access is bold and it is confident. It is access to our Father. Now, it's been a while since we've had small children in the White House. But I want you to imagine you're part of the presidential family, that your dad is the president of the United States, the most powerful person on earth, with all those gatekeepers that are normally making sure that his schedule is cleared and he doesn't get bothered. He's almost impossible to get time with for the average person, right? And yet, as his child, if you need a drink at two in the morning, right, you just walk right in, you wake him up, and you say, "Daddy, can you give me a drink?" Because, listen, no one would dare wake up the president unless it was like a global emergency, and yet a child can wake up his father for a drink at 2 a.m. This is amazing. A child has the boldest, most confident access of anybody, right? Friends, God is the King of the universe, and we owe him our full allegiance, and yet he is also our Father, and we approach him with full access because we are his beloved children. And notice, he's not just the father of each one of us as individuals. He is, as Paul says, the father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Every family in heaven and on earth is named. Remember, God promised Abraham that in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed, right? All the families of earth. Genesis 12, verse 3. God's heart beats not just for the Jewish family who would come through the line of Abraham, but for all the families of the earth, all nations, all the Gentiles, all the peoples. And now in Jesus Christ, that blessing is coming true. It's coming into reality as God brings salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles together as one new family by grace through faith in Christ. And so now we have this multi-ethnic family of all peoples, this church from whom that's being assembled from every nation, tribe, tongue, people, and language around the love of God, the mercy of Christ, the sacrifice of what Jesus has done. And we are now adopted as his children. We are called by his name. We are members of his family. We are heirs of God's glory. And so we can come before him as his children with boldness and access him with confidence, because our Father loves his multi-ethnic family. Our Father loves his multi-ethnic family. Friends, in Jesus Christ, you and I, we have a Father who adores us. You are completely known. You are fully loved. You are entirely forgiven. You are totally accepted. Your Father smiles on your life. He rejoices over you with singing. He delights in you for Jesus' sake. And so come to him like you're wanted, because you are. Come to him like you're wanted, because you are. Your Father loves to give good gifts to his children. That's the basis of prayer. It's the basis of prayer. Our Father loves his multi-ethnic family. And if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, if you are a son or daughter of God by grace through faith in Christ, this includes you. And so you get to come with bold, confident access to your kingly Father. It's the basis of prayer.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and of course, we're glad that you're here to join us in this discussion about how we can come with boldness and confidence to God in prayer. I got to pick up, though, from a theme you just dropped at the end of this. Matthew 7:11 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask?" My question, I can just ask for anything, and God's going to give it to me. Yes?
Well, we can. Well, here's the thing. We can ask God for anything, right? What Paul's saying is that no matter what's on our heart, no matter what's going on, it's an open door policy. We can come with boldness and access to him. But of course, it doesn't automatically mean we get everything we ask for.
So he's not the spiritual ATM where I can just go and withdraw.
Yeah. Withdraw. He's not like a vending machine where if you just press in the right code, you know, the candy bar falls out the bottom. We've got to remember here that Paul is he's talking about spiritual enrichment, spiritual resources, Christ giving more of himself to us so that we become more like Christ. In other words, this isn't about the stuff. You know, it's not about, oh, I want a bigger house or I want a whatever. And God cares about everything, of course, right? The birds, you know, don't worry about the future. They have the food they need. Jesus says, look at the birds. Look, they're not worried. You seek first the kingdom and all God's righteousness and all these things, the things you need, what you eat, you drink, what you wear, God's going to take care of you. So God cares about all the little things, of course. And there's a lot of value to that. We want to ask God for those things. But what we really need, deep down, in the bottom of our souls, is we need spiritual vitality. We need the presence of God. We are made for God. We're made to come alive in relationship with him. We need more and more of him. There's so much in our lives that's messed up, that's corrupted, that's in trouble, that's truncated. We need God to unleash the power of his presence and life in a way that would change us from the inside out. And that's what Paul's praying about. I'm praying that you would be strengthened and that this life of God would come flourishing out of your life. And so Paul's teaching us to pray here very specifically, less about all the sort of stuff we might want just to kind of prop up our lives so that we can just be a little cheery as we go through it, but to actually get down to the very roots of our existence so that we are asking God for the things that are going to make us most like Christ, transform our lives, and give us the abundant life of the kingdom of God. So he's aiming our prayers. And I think the more we follow Christ, the more we follow after God, the more we start, that transformation starts happening, that we start praying in accordance with his will, with his intentions and desires in our life, and we start praying prayers that reflect his heart. Yes. And that is a prayer that God always loves to answer. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray in his name. It's not like a magic formula. We pray in the name of Jesus because we're praying because Jesus has given us access, but we're also praying in concert with what his will and intentions are in our lives. So as we follow Christ, we pray in his name because we're offering prayers that are consistent with what he's doing already. And that's the transformation of our lives so that we might be conformed to his glorious image and stand with him forever. And that's a prayer worth praying.
Pastor, there's often this subtle suggestion that we are prone to that God's sovereignty really isn't important in some areas of our lives, some of the small things. We'll run to prayer about big stuff. Mm-hmm. But little things, there's that little whisper that God doesn't need to be involved in these small things in our lives. What can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, Here's what I would say. I would say if it's worth having an emotion about, God cares about it. And if you have a good father, he wants to hear about whatever's going on, even if it is kind of mundane. You know, my kids, I come home and they're just like, I made a drawing. Look at this thing I did. I took a stick and I sharpened it and look at it, it's really pointy. I mean, they're not important things, but I care about all of them because I care about them. And the reality is, if God's our Father, and he is, and he's for us, he wants every part of our being. He loves us. And so there's nothing in our life he doesn't want us to share with him. And I think what happens is sometimes we think, oh, he's too busy. But he's infinite, which means he can be everything for everyone. He's always present. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not worthy. Well, no, you're not, but Jesus is, and you're righteous in Christ. So come boldly. And then you think, well, you know, the pieces of my life are just, you know, they're just boring. No, no, no. He loves you. And he wants to know everything that's on your heart.
Amen.
So come to him.
Amen. Every part. There are no small parts. That's really what it
boils
down to. You talked about the ethnicity, the multi-ethnic family of God. So our listeners are saying, okay, so what does that have to do with my prayer life? We're talking about prayer and the power of prayer. What does that have to do with that?
Yeah, Paul says we kneel before the Father from whom every nation, every family on earth is named. And the point is, God has made this multi-ethnic family of God, the community of the church, which is very diverse, all kinds of people in here. And so when we pray, we don't pray just by ourselves. We pray together. We pray corporately. That's what we do when we gather in church. We have a small group. We're praying together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, right? There's something about a family gathering that's special. And the wider the family of God, the wider we see the heart of God. We see how much he loves all kinds of different people. And that broadens the horizon of our love as well. And so that's a special moment. Family reunions are special.
Yes.
And so prayer in community is special too. And I think God loves that. And I think we need to grow to love that too.
Yeah, it isn't a barrier.
No.
No, it's a bond for us now.
That's right.
Where we're stronger as a result of it. I love that. So people are listening, and we're glad that you are, that you've joined us here today. But how do I cultivate some habits regarding prayer? It's important. I got it. I heard what you had to say. Now, how do I cultivate some good habits regarding prayer?
I think a couple thoughts here. I've always liked that little acronym, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Those are some good handles to try to think about your prayer life. Sometimes we just come with a laundry list. Here's all the stuff I need you to do. And I think that broadens it out. We adore him for who he is. We thank him for his good gifts. We make confession. You know, we're saying, I'm sorry for where I'm broken and sinful. We're making supplications. So we do bring our requests before the Lord. He wants to hear those things, but it broadens it out. I think that's a good tool to think about. The Psalms help us pray through our emotions and all the things in our life. Jesus gave us the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which goes through some really important theology to help us think about how we're positioned in the world. And so those are really good biblical tools that the Lord has given us. And so we can use those. I think the biggest thing I've learned about prayer, Paul talks about praying continuously, is that prayer is a posture rather than just, you know, words. It's a way of being. It's an openness of your soul toward God, inviting him into your life, into your day, into your situation. And so you can take just brief moments, breath prayers, and just say, God, help me. God, be with me. God, be near me. God, this is a problem. Help. Like, just short reminder prayers punctuating my day to remind me and to be conscious, the Lord is with me, the Lord is near, he's listening, he's aiding me, his Holy Spirit's within me, I'm dependent on him. Yes. They're just trust-filled breath prayers. I think that kind of continuous openness is the right kind of posture.
Wow, that's powerful. The attitude that God is ever present in our lives, and when in doubt, we want to pray that we know more about Christ. So when in doubt, call a prayer meeting. So next time, we'll explore the greatest thing that we can pray for and about, and that's really to know more about Christ. And if you'd like to know more about Christ, we have a resource available for you. We think it'll be a blessing for you on your journey. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." The heart of the Christian journey is learning to communicate with God and allowing that intimacy to grow our love for the world around us. Dr. George Sweeting's book, How to Begin the Christian Life, is your guide to deepening that vital relationship. This book offers practical, biblical instruction to help you pray the way Jesus did. Dr. Sweeting dedicates an entire section to how to pray, and daily prayer and Bible study, helping you move past shallow requests to experience a life rooted in God's presence. Whether you're a new believer learning to speak to your Heavenly Father or a seasoned Christian seeking to reignite your first love, this book is an invaluable resource. This is one of the last days we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.